Hello and welcome to the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers, here as always with Joe Polito. Joe, what's up?
Always.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. So, you know, getting the Friday underway. A little sore from basketball last night.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm not as sore as I expected to be. I had a little
tumble. Chris Towers checked out in like 3 minutes in the first game.
He called in Lou. It wasn't great. We also, not just Joe and I today, Heath.
Yes.
Heath Cummings making his return to the podcast. How's it going, Heath?
I am just so thankful for you allowing me to be on the podcast today. I always love being on the Fantasy Basketball podcast, and
now the football's
really looking forward to it.
Now the football's over, you can finally grace us with your presence. Some of us have to cover multiple sports.
I appreciate you extending the invite, and hopefully I'm good enough that you do it again someday.
We'll see. Better bring your best.
Tryouts.
We've got trades to talk about. We've got potential trades. We've got one trade to talk about. We've got potential
trades
in the future. It has
names.
Championship implications.
I suppose.
There are some fantasy implications, I would say, as well. We've got some potential trades to discuss looking forward. We've got some injuries. We've got some roster trends. And, of course, Heath is here to talk DFS. So we're going to get you ready for Friday's DFS slate. Heath, do you think it's a good one?
It's a great slate. It's a weird slate.
That's my thing.
What?
That's my thing.
Yeah, the thing that's really weird about tonight is there's a couple of games with big over-unders.
Yeah.
But they're both situations that are a little bit scary. Because you've got Houston, after a pretty tough game last night,
yeah,
traveling to Orlando to play on the second night of a back-to-back. And then you've got the Cavs playing against the Nets, and I know that everybody's expected back, but they probably don't need to play more than a half.
Probably.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting when we get into that.
Well, we'll get to that a little later. First off, let's talk about the Cavs trading for Kyle Korver. They traded, apparently, Mo Williams, Mike Dunleavy, and a 2019 protected first-round pick. I believe the Blazers are also involved in this somehow.
Yeah, I kind of saw that.
Cavaliers get their
stopped reading it.
2018 first-round pick back.
Not interested in things that might happen in
so,
2 years.
But what does Portland get?
They get a Cavaliers first-round pick. Cavaliers get a first-round pick that they traded to Portland back in return for, I believe, an earlier first-round pick.
Sure.
I'm just telling you what happened.
I don't think that's
And the Cavs got Kyle Korver.
Cavs got Kyle
Huge.
Korver, who is not Kyle Korver anymore.
But he might be again.
He could return to being himself.
He could be. It's weird. He, Kyle Korver,
running around kind of way.
Was pretty consistently a 45% three-point shooter for a stretch of about 6 years. Had one down year at 41%, but from 2010 to 2015, he was a 46% three-point shooter on 4.6 attempts per game. Over the last two seasons, including this one, he's been right around a 40% three-point shooter, and that has certainly driven his fantasy value down. And he did have ankle surgery in the offseason before last year, so, ironically, from Matthew Dellavedova diving into him.
Mm.
Why is that ironic? I don't think it is.
Because really. He played for the Cavs.
Yeah.
Coincidentally?
Stretch. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's ironic.
Irony police here.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
Sure.
A black fly on your Chardonnay.
No, I think this is really good news for Kyle Korver.
Definitely.
Probably.
He was a guy that getting dropped in most leagues.
Yeah, he's been borderline startable in Roto. He's been the 120th player, but you look at what he's doing. 2 3-pointers per game, and that's pretty much all he's helping you with. He doesn't turn the ball over. I guess he's got that going for him. But other than that, he hasn't really been helping you, and that's what I say. 2 3-pointers, for someone who doesn't do anything else, you probably want him to be in the 3 3-pointers per game.
And I think he will be now.
He could be. Definitely.
I think I saw last night that he was shooting 52% on corner threes so far this year. And I would expect he's going to get more open corner threes now.
Yeah, I mean, Shumpert's been getting a lot, so you figure.
I would rather have Kyle Korver
for
shooting.
Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
He is 51.9% on corner threes. Now, you look at the big Hawks season, the one where everything kind of clicked for that team. 25% of his three-pointers came from the corners. This season, it's 17%. The Hawks have become because of Dwight Howard and Dennis Schroeder primarily, they've become much less of a passing team than they have been. The Cavaliers don't pass all that much. They've got three ball-dominant stars, but LeBron can certainly get Kyle Korver open threes.
Yeah, I mean, when the big three is on the floor, you know, clearly he'll be an afterthought if he's in the game, but those second units are very three-point heavy, pick-and-roll heavy. He's kind of like, I don't know, I haven't watched him play a whole lot this year, but he's kind of a weird shooter where he, like almost like Ray Allen, loved to be, like, on the move all the time or, like, coming off screens and stuff, and I don't know if the Cavs do a ton of that. I mean, maybe they will for
him.
He
can stand still in the corner, though.
And J.R. Smith has attempted in Cleveland more three-pointers per game in about the same minutes as Kyle Korver was getting in Atlanta. Kyle Korver was at 5 per game over the last two seasons.
It's just hard to picture. Like J.R. Smith stands on the other side of the arc. LeBron throws that, like, laser cross-court pass to him, and he, like, locks and loads and hits it. Like, I don't know. Kyle Korver just doesn't seem like that kind of shooter to me.
And Kyle Korver's not as unconscious when it comes to his shooting.
True. Maybe he will say, you know, maybe this is a bad decision, and then just keep passing it.
Yeah, and you want the guy...
JR might coach him out of that, though.
You want the guy playing with LeBron to be fearless in that regard. But I would say it wouldn't surprise me if Kyle Korver's a top 100 player in Roto from this point on. So I think it's a positive move. I don't think there's much else of fantasy relevance to discuss here, except the fact that this probably signals a change in the Hawks' future plans.
Cleaning house.
That certainly seems to be the rumor. Paul Millsap rumors are starting to heat up. The trade market starting to heat up for him. But we do have to figure out who's going to replace Kyle Korver in the lineup. Kent Bazemore should get more opportunities. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is a name to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's a much more natural Korver fill-in.
Hasn't been a top 188 player this season, so... but he has these stretches. I think he's at 18 points per game over the last three. He has these stretches, but consistency might actually happen for Tim Hardaway now.
Yeah, I think he's got to shoot a lot of threes to be a good Roto option, because, you know, a handful of two-pointers and nothing else is going to make him, like, kind of fake productive in fantasy.
Yeah, and he seems to be more a good shooter in theory. Like, he shoots a lot.
His dad made some shots, you know, so you think...
Well, he's a 34.8% three-point shooter. He's been 34% over the last two seasons, 1.6 makes per game this year. He could get to that 2 3-pointers per game margin in 30 minutes per game if he can get there. So in a Roto league, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is someone who's worth picking up. Beyond that, I don't know. This Hawks team could get really messy soon. They had two first-round picks this year. Taurean Prince was one of them, and I can't even remember the other guy's name because neither of them has been playing. I don't know, but I don't think right now that there's anybody else worth going out and picking up. If Kent Bazemore's available, him, Tim Hardaway.
How do you feel if you're Dwight Howard and you decided to make this move, and now they're going to sell everybody?
Let's go all in ATL, and they're like
DeAndre Bembry is the other guy.
Hmm.
So Millsap's gone.
Seems like it.
That seems to be the case. I mean, there have been, I believe, five teams with reported interest.
The Kings are one?
The Kings are one. The Raptors are one. The 76ers are one. Denver and New Orleans. Some of those teams have assets.
No Celtics.
Not reportedly yet.
Yeah.
They would make sense, though.
I don't know what you can get for Paul Millsap.
It's a half season
of
Paul Millsap.
Half a season of Paul Millsap.
Well, Danny Ainge will, like, pretend like he was going after him or something.
Well, he'll offer a second-round pick.
Yeah, lowball, and be like, yeah, we tried, but...
Yeah, and then he'll talk about how he doesn't really like any of the prospects in the draft. Yeah, we know what Danny Ainge does. I mean, Toronto should definitely be looking to go get him, but that would be really bad for Paul Millsap's fantasy value, I think.
Does any spot other than the Hawks see him getting a boost in fantasy? We have a list of players
on
CBSSports.com. Most likely to get traded in their estimation, and Millsap is near the top of the list. But, I mean, do you see any situation being good other than, like, a really bad team?
Sacramento's always good.
Yeah?
Yeah, one of those bad teams, Sacramento, Denver.
I would like that, actually, because Bookie plays really far away from the hoop on offense these days.
They would actually fit together really well, I think, Boogie and Paul Millsap, because they can both handle the ball, they can both shoot, they can both play inside.
I think New Orleans would be good. His usage would go through the roof as soon as Davis gets hurt.
Yeah, but they have no, they have nobody to trade. Like, the report was, like, they're willing to offer, like, a first-round pick, and, like, I think Buddy Hield wasn't even available. It's like, Buddy Hield doesn't have any value anyway.
Oh, Chris.
Well, later in the rundown, you'll see that Buddy Hield is gaining some steam.
Buddy is getting buckets.
December rookie of the month in the Western
and Conference. He was really good last night.
There you go. So yeah, let's talk about those players who could get traded. We'll run through. Joe, you want to
let's do it. We already talked about Paul Millsap. Goran Dragic, another one that can't see him going to a better spot for fantasy because the Heat are a barren wasteland.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be.
Although, as we saw with Justice Winslow, there's a chance that at some point Goran Dragic gets shut down.
If he stays with the Heat.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely – everyone's calling it a secret tank, but I don't see anything secretive about it. Like,
Pat Riley came out and said they're rebuilding.
Right.
I don't think that's a secret.
And he went, tank!
Yeah.
Under his breath. So, yeah, I can't even really see where Dragic would go, but he made the list. Rudy Gay.
Yep.
Pretty much going to be Rudy Gay no matter where he goes, right?
Yeah, Rudy Gay is Rudy Gay.
DeMarcus Cousins, also on the list. Can't really see him being a better fantasy option than he is – right now.
I don't think it really matters for superstars. Like, any team that trades DeMarcus Cousins is going to put him in a huge role. He does have, like, a 37% usage rate this season, which is... he might not have a usage rate that high anywhere else, just because that's... Most teams don't have room for that.
So would you be afraid of the Kings making a move, bringing someone else in, like Millsap, and kind of...
That would hurt his usage, for sure.
I think it would, yeah, but it's still, like, what? There's nothing actionable about that. Like, it's not like you should trade DeMarcus Cousins on the off chance they get Paul
Millsap.
Maybe
you should trade DeMarcus Cousins because they're either going to add somebody else or they're going to deal him. And either way, his value goes down from here. This might be peak DeMarcus Cousins value for this year.
Maybe, but...
Or they'll just, like, piss him off in some way. Or, like, I just feel like something's going to...
Well, he's
going to
get suspended.
There. Yeah.
At some point.
Nerlens Noel, going to the lower tier of the list,
could be
has been playing.
Tier, yeah,
he talked about, and I've thought of this. They should play all three of them.
Yes,
Okafor also on this list because, like,
together.
Yeah, and Embiid could spread the floor.
Put Embiid at the three,
and then Noel can guard threes. You know, like, well enough.
Play Covington at the two.
Yeah, and then Saric at the one. That would be beautiful.
Noel just, is like, actually
big ball.
Noel is actually playing really well right now.
Yeah,
good.
Yes, he's really good. Like, there was a report the other day, like, Portland seems like the most obvious landing spot for someone like Nerlens Noel, and there was a report the other day that they have no interest in him, they don't want to give up on their team, and it's like, you had one good month last year, you added Evan Turner and re-signed Myers Leonard, like, what core are you worried
Why
about?
Why is it Boston the most likely fit for him? Wouldn't he play well next to Horford?
Sure.
Boston's the most likely fit for everyone because they have the coach and the, you know, the defense and the sort of in between guys.
Their defense is kind of
they could add anyone.
Orleans would help that a lot.
Yeah. Well, they can't rebound and they can't protect the rim right now.
Well, I think what you're seeing with Nerlens, even in limited action, is he is much better with guys who need the ball. So, like, all the guys on the Sixers need the ball. Noel can just clean up, you know, help the offensive rebounds, run the floor.
And you're talking about a player who, after his rookie season, was routinely being drafted third or fourth round in nine-category leagues, and this is a big reason why. For his career, he's averaging 12.7 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2.1 blocks, 2.1 steals, 2.1 assists per 36 minutes. All he needs is playing time.
76% owned in CBSSports.com yearly leagues.
And he's really hard. It's hard to say go out and add him.
Yeah, because like he's at the point, you know, where he's in probably in most smart 12-team leagues.
Yeah.
So you don't need to rush to add him if, I don't know, if you're in a 10-team league. But you might want to stick him on your bench if you got to know a better spot for it.
Whereas Jahlil Okafor...
Harder to see him coming to fruition.
A lot harder to get excited about him. He's someone that, like... If he ended up getting traded to, like, the Suns or something, like some team that would just let him do what he wants, I think he could be useful in fantasy, but he gives you points and rebounds, and that's about it.
But he's pretty good for those if he
gets
the
minutes. Those are good things to get.
Yeah, like, and he's always going
to
get them.
They're the two easiest things to get in fantasy.
Oh, in fantasy, yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, rebounds generally do help, but... So, yeah, and then, you know, further down the list, we got some veteran guys like Brook Lopez,
yep.
Gallinari, Rubio. I was thinking Rubio on the Sixers would be awesome.
That would be super fun, yeah. They've got some guys who can shoot. They've got some guys who can score. But having someone who could – I mean, you know, that's kind of – they use T.J. McConnell and
right.
Sergio Rodriguez in that
right.
way anyway.
They're just Rick not – like, you yeah. combine them and they equal one Rubio, so you might as well just get one guy to do
it. Was Brandon Knight on that list?
Yes.
Knight is also
on. You know
on
where
list.
He would fit really well?
Boston?
Milwaukee. It'd be really nice to see Brandon Knight in Milwaukee.
That's actually,
they already tried that,
like,
didn't they?
That's actually been true for most of the last year.
Like, ever since they traded Brandon Knight, they nice. Really could have used Brandon Knight.
The problem with Brandon Knight, and it's not – we see this with his fantasy value, but we also see it in his real value, is that it's just, what is he? Like, he's not good enough to be a point guard. Like, he just doesn't have the passing instincts or the passing acumen to be a point guard.
Like, he's better than any point guard they've had since, though. Like, he's good enough to be a point guard.
Although,
for, like,
Brogdon's
well,
playing some good ball
that's
right
the problem.
Now.
That's the problem, is you want the ball in Giannis' hands, you want the ball in Jabari Parker's hands.
Right.
Brandon Knight wants the ball in Brandon Knight's hands. Yeah. That's the problem, is that he's not good enough to be the player he thinks he is.
He's more of a ball-handling two-guard off the bench for, like, an okay team.
Yeah, he's
that's probably
Jamal
his
Crawford.
Destiny. He's a little more well-rounded than Crawford, sure. But yeah, in the sense that...
And he can't get buckets like Crawford either.
Right. He's looking for his own shot, not as effectively as Jamal Crawford, but he can pass better than
and
Jamal Crawford.
And so, at this point, I don't know if anybody's going to trade for Brandon Knight and say, all right, you're the point guard now, and that's really the only way he can have a ton of fantasy value.
82% owned in yearly CBS Sports.
And that's probably too high based on the way he's playing. I mean, I think it was under 10 minutes in three straight games before missing their most recent game with a wrist injury.
And even when he does get minutes, never really approaches 30. Usually.
Not really someone I'm all that interested in stashing, to be honest, Brandon Knight. Brook Lopez, probably someone.
What are the Nets doing? They're doing some weird stuff.
They are the fastest team in the NBA. They have Brook Lopez playing like a shooting guard, which is fantastic.
Did they bring him off the bench last night or something? Or maybe I'm mistaken.
They have done that a few times this season, but he's shooting like 5 3-pointers per game. It's he almost has more 3-pointers than rebounds this season.
I thought when you had less talent than everybody you were playing, you should try to limit possessions.
And also, I thought when you have a guy who you clearly should trade and your team is awful, like, give him a 50% usage rate and let him score 40 points a game so that he looks amazing. Like, they're like giving Justin Hamilton like some serious run instead of just pounding the ball to Brook Lopez and upping his trade value.
Brook Lopez is averaging 20 points per game.
But on a team
assists.
That bad, like, couldn't he be putting up like monster numbers?
He could.
He's putting up better numbers last year, wasn't he, other than threes?
I think he's probably definitely someone who would not benefit from a trade. Nikola Vucevic would. He's on this list in Orlando, coming off the bench for the Magic. Bismack Biyombo's been starting. Who could have seen this coming besides everybody except the Orlando Magic GM? This team just doesn't fit together.
It's kind of like what the Bulls did in the backcourt.
Yeah.
Except they did it in the frontcourt.
Yeah, like the Magic traded for Serge Ibaka, signed Bismack Biyombo to a huge deal, and still have Nikola Vucevic. It's just a tough situation. Nikola Vucevic not getting the minutes he needs. His production's down. A trade would certainly help him, except something that we've seen across the NBA is, does anybody need Nikola Vucevic?
I mean, if you could get him to play, like, power forward, maybe? Like the Wizards?
He could play center for Dallas if they decided they wanted to make a run at the 8 seed.
Yeah,
I think Darren Williams also on the trade list. I didn't include him, but
I think they're like 9 games back of the 8 seed.
Yeah,
right now.
They were only like 4 or 5 back.
Okay, yeah, they're 4 back. They're 3 back in the loss.
And that's of the Kings, right?
It's close enough for Mark Cuban.
Of the Blazers.
If they wanted to go trade for a player and get the 8 seed, they'd have it.
I don't know. That
team Vucevic
pretty
gets
awful.
You the 8 seed though? I mean, he gets numbers, but
they're chasing the Kings.
That's true.
Yeah, I maybe there are a few teams, but there's just this is something Philadelphia kind of best exemplifies the trend that we're seeing across the NBA, which is that there's just too many teams and not enough too many big men and not enough teams, or maybe there's a typical amount of big men but not enough opportunities for them because no team is playing two big men together for the most part,
or even emphasizing the big man.
How
in their
long
game
until
plan.
That trend switches back. Because, like, eventually somebody's going to realize nobody's
Sixers,
using...
baby. Big ball. Let's get 3 7-footers
out there.
Well,
we need somebody to do it successfully, though.
Well, it'll be fun. That'll be success. They'll sell tickets.
Well, we are seeing with Golden State, like, they do struggle against bigger teams.
Vucevic, 100% owned, by the way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That makes sense, even though, you know, he's averaging 13 points, 10 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 1.9 steals and blocks combined. Like, it's not the value he's been giving you, but it's what he used to do when he was a must-own player 3 years ago. It's hard to see him landing somewhere.
Right.
So that's the only thing. And then Rubio and Gallinari, I don't think – I mean, maybe Rubio could land in a better situation.
It seems like for fantasy that's definitely a possibility, because it'll be some team that just wants a point guard who knows what he's doing, which isn't many teams, but – you know, the Wolves don't need him to put up any stats, so him going to a bad team would be pretty cool.
They need somebody to do something.
Who, the Wolves?
Yes.
Zach LaVine's doing it.
He's better than Andrew Wiggins.
Than Andrew Wiggins.
He is. No, he's definitely currently a better NBA player than Andrew Wiggins.
So Andrew Wiggins has to just be awful for that to be true. Because
no, Zach LaVine's awesome.
Okay, well then how can they not... Top Tibbs is not any good? Because they've got Karl-Anthony Towns, who you think is a top 10 talent
young
in the
players
NBA.
Young players are bad.
Yeah, they're...
Young players are just bad at basketball.
But Cat's not bad. And you just said Zach LaVine's awesome.
Cat's been bad at defense. They're playing two big men together that don't fit. It makes sense. They're disappointing. And yeah, Andrew Wiggins...
They're an enormous disappointment.
Andrew Wiggins is not yet an impactful NBA player.
You've never liked him. It's okay.
I don't...
you disliking... young 20-year-olds now and teenagers and
stuff? We had this fight last year on the DFS podcast.
I hate children.
Just a second. I've got to readjust my lineup because every time Chris does this, Andrew Wiggins goes off. So I'm putting Wiggins in my lineup for later.
All right, let's get to the DFS talk. First, let's talk about roster trends. Malcolm Brogdon, again, the most added player.
He's been dishing lately.
Yeah, 12.5 points, 5.5 boards, 7.3 assists per game over the last four. He's Michael Carter-Williams with a jump shot.
All right.
He's playing really well. I do think he is a must-add player. I think he should be owned pretty much everywhere that he's available. I think he's the top player available.
Next guy is Michael Carter-Williams without a jump shot.
Which is just Michael Carter-Williams.
60% owned.
10 points.
Up like 40% since the Rondo benching.
Yeah, and that kind of makes sense. I think he's worth a flyer. We talked about this on Monday. Worth a flyer, but I'm
certainly still
going to
shoot badly, even if he has
rebounds. Yeah, I think he's 37% right now, and it just... Is that three? That's three assists per game over the last four? Yeah.
He's going to be like Sean Livingston with poor field goal percentage.
Yeah, I think he might actually be over-owned, but it might be a situation where it's worth taking a flyer on him just in case he improves.
Buddy Buckets, 3 threes per game.
Over the last three games.
Yeah. He's 16 points. He's getting in double figures, like last five, I want to say. Yeah. Starting to make shots.
December player rookie of the month in the Western Conference, which says a lot more about the rookie class out west.
So they need to sell high for Millsap right now.
He only averaged 10 points per game, not really doing much playmaking. He's been a pretty big disappointment.
54% owned in leagues.
That's too high.
I've been holding Buddy Buckets. I'm not letting him go.
Those three threes per game. I mean, he does that for another couple games and might be looking at something real.
Like, we knew that he could shoot. That's about the only thing we expected from him this year, was just shoot.
We knew that he could shoot if he had the ball for long enough. But
I thought the volume would be higher for him.
It has been since the start of December.
Maybe they're emphasizing him a little more.
Basically, the first 5 weeks of his NBA career were not good enough for you.
I would rather have Tim Hardaway right now.
All right, that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I'd rather have Buddy Hield.
Okay.
Hield's got the upside, but we've seen Hardaway do it. His opportunity is probably a little better on a worse team.
And really,
Hield is going to lose playing time moving forward. Unless he, like, really...
I don't know. They don't really have shooters.
Tyreek Evans needs more minutes, though. He's only been playing about 18 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I would guess that they're not quite interchangeable from a skill set.
Oh, not from a skill set standpoint, but from like a...
Like he's
from
played,
like a, yo, I'm here, I need minutes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and you look at, like, over the last month, he's getting, what, 3-4 rebounds a game?
Sure.
It's not awful out of a shooting guard.
Less than 2 assists.
Yeah. He needs to be a really high-volume three-point shooter, and I'm not sure he has that opportunity. And Montrezl Harrell, again, one of the most added players.
Up to 67%.
Believe he came off the bench yesterday.
Yeah, last night was like a, all right, Nene, go in there and fist fight Steven Adams. And it worked.
Yeah, Nene had his best game of the season. He scored a season-high 18 points, hit the game-winning free throws. But I think Montrezl Harrell's still the guy to own.
Yeah, I think that number should be even, well, Capella coming back, maybe not a little higher, but maybe in the 70s.
And then Brandon Ingram, Luol Deng, 69 and 64%. Brandon Ingram, the minutes are still there. He's playing, still playing 30 minutes per game.
That was my point with including him. He's starting. He's just still not really doing anything.
He's a lot less ready than I think people thought he was.
It's the high butt.
He does have a very high butt.
Gotta be.
You warned me about the high butt. I liked his game a lot.
He is impossibly skinny. I mean, there was like Kevin Durant comparisons, and it was just not fair. Like, Kevin Durant was so much better in college than Brandon Ingram. I still believe in him. I like the way the Lakers use him. When D'Angelo Russell's out, they'll throw him out there at point guard and try to have him make plays. And I think there's a lot of potential for him to improve dramatically as the season goes on. But he's too highly owned at 69%. I think Luol Deng at 64% is obviously too highly owned.
Especially if they're giving Ingram all this minutes and it's not doing anything with them. John Henson and Terrence Jones have just – I put the continue to frustrate because it's like, all right, Terrence Jones sucks now, and then he gets a double-double with three blocks.
His most recent game was good. Yeah. I think he had three bad ones in a row before.
And you're like, oh, Monta Ewes is coming for those minutes. Yeah. And
I don't think he's
But he's still – he's still going to – he's going to be terrible and then awesome. And then Henson's a little similar, like, oh, 36 minutes for Henson, sweet. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, 12, cool. So, frustrating.
At least the Bucks are only playing two big men now, or at least two centers now. Giannis is still there. Heath.
Yeah.
It's your time to shine.
It is.
It's all you.
We're going to talk Celtics?
We're going to talk DFS.
Oh, DFS.
Well,
I mean,
if you want.
The Celtics are on Depends. The schedule. You might have some Celtics
playing the Sixers.
Team.
I have no Celtics on my team.
Me neither.
So there are six players at $9,600 or above tonight. I thought maybe we should just start by ranking them.
Wow. This is very novel. Rank the six players at $9,600 or above. The weird thing is I'm not sure how much I like most of them.
I'm scared of Harden just because of the travel.
Back-to-back, traveling.
It's going to be on cruise control.
Yeah.
Which means like and he's 24 like
a,
and 10.
He's like $1,000 more than the rest of them.
Yeah, yes. He's $800 more than the second most expensive player, which is Boogie Cousins.
And I'm scared of Boogie because he's going against DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan, that's a tough matchup. I mean, you would expect him to get fewer rebounds. DeAndre Jordan coming off a 20-rebound game. It's just that's a tough matchup for anybody.
And so I'm probably not going to play Harden or Boogie in any of my lineups, which is extremely – like normally if there's a slate with Boogie on it, he's almost an autoplay for me.
And Harden this season has been too.
So my favorite out of the group is Giannis.
Me too.
Fantastic matchup against the Knicks.
National TV.
He's amazing. Knicks He's defense, everything that's good about basketball.
Knicks defense is a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's great about it.
His last three games, 53.6 fantasy points against the Knicks, 48.5, and 71.8.
71?
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
He may approach that tonight. My second favorite's LeBron.
Yeah.
And I know you weren't thrilled with LeBron, but like even if Kyrie and Love come back, even if he only plays three quarters – it's the Nets.
And the Nets play at the fastest pace in the NBA.
Do whatever you want.
There will be a lot of opportunities. I think there's some risk there.
And then I like Wall better than Durant. We talked about Durant probably getting the Tony Allen matchup.
I would guess so, yeah.
So maybe it's a good night for Steph.
Steph is $8,100.
Well, he's only had one good game since his price dropped to that, but... I think I'd go Wall over. I'd probably go Giannis, LeBron, Wall if I was going to play any of those six.
Yeah, maybe if. Actually, you know what's weird? John Wall is averaging more assists per game on the road this year.
I think they got a new scorekeeper.
Maybe, because that's a big change for him.
They should fire the new scorekeeper.
The Wizards are at home. Joe, what do you think of the big guys?
The Cousins thing is interesting because I thought the same thing, and then I ended up going with DeAndre Jordan, DeAndre Jordan would probably win that matchup statistically, and he's a couple thousand cheaper, so I can definitely see that. think Towns could do some work. He's not the 9600.
He's a 94, yeah.
But I don't know. He's playing Gortat, who's not exactly
the Wizards' defense has not been good this season.
Right.
As well.
So figure he could make some noise. What about Marc Gasol against the Warriors?
Chris likes that a lot. I
like Marc Gasol a lot. He had, I believe, 41 the last time he played the Warriors. It's just they can't rebound. Marc Gasol's been playing absolutely outstanding this season.
I think he weighs more than Durant and Green combined.
But really, like, 41 is as high as he's priced. That's just okay.
Sure. But he has a higher ceiling than that. He had a 47-point game recently and a 51-point game. I love the matchup. He's a mediocre rebounder who could have a big rebounding game tonight, and I think that can help push him over the top as well. He's 8,500.
Are we going to play Willie Reed?
Willie Reed.
That was honestly the first thing I looked at.
I don't know. The Mozgov kind of tends to like punch people in the throat when they come in and think they're going to be all spry and energetic. Like last night against Mason Plumlee, he just kind of bullied the bleep out of him.
That's true. The only thing I like about it is, like, because I played Reed against Sacramento a couple nights ago. That's not a bad matchup.
He had 6 points, three boards.
Because he had three fouls in like his first 5 minutes because he's guarding to guard Boogie.
Yeah.
You're not going to get in foul trouble guarding Mozgov.
Yeah.
So you got to at least get to play minutes. If he gets 30 minutes, 4,100 is going to be a huge value.
I think so. That was the first thing I looked at, and the only reason I went away from him is I just, like we talked about earlier, I don't necessarily love the high-priced guys elsewhere. So saving all that money at center, it's always tough to go cheap at center because you only get one. You know, other positions you can say, well, yeah, I'll throw TJ McConnell or Aaron Gordon out there as a cheap flyer, but at center, you kind of have to hit your center. So that's the problem there. Are there any other values that you like tonight, Heath?
Well, as long as Dellavedova is out, then I think Brogdon's pretty much an auto play.
Yeah.
4,600. Again, the fantastic matchup against the Knicks. And he's been really good lately. So Brogdon's going to be in pretty much every lineup.
He had 31.2 fantasy points against the Knicks in their game on Wednesday.
Knicks don't have a lot of defense coming from the point guard position.
Yeah, it's weird. Derrick Rose fans got mad at me on Twitter because I said he's not a good defender, and they were like, look at what elite point guards have done against him. And, like, actually, some of the elite point guards have not had great games against them, but I still don't. Like, opposing point guards have an easy time getting into the paint. He gets lost on three-point defense. I think Brogdon can have a good game.
I think you play one of Kilpatrick or Bohan.
Yeah.
And Kilpatrick's been the one that's been much better lately, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. Like, Bohan is just as likely to have a big game as Kilpatrick is.
The thing that would tip it towards Kilpatrick for me, and I was actually deciding between Kilpatrick and Nick Young, who are the same price, Kilpatrick can have a 6-assist game.
Yeah.
Bohan is strictly jump shots.
Both of them get buckets, but Sean Kilpatrick, with Jeremy Lin out, can do a little more playmaking, so I like him in that regard. What other values?
James Johnson?
Yes.
5,500?
Yeah, not a huge value at 5,500, but the way he's playing lately.
Yeah, you're right, but he has the upside too.
Oh, yeah, he's got 40-point upside. He's got 33 or more in each of his last three games. I think he's a really good play tonight, doing a ton of playmaking for the Heat, which is weird because Dragic's there.
Yeah, he's just kind of more of the dude who always starts the possession,
yeah,
and that will inevitably lead to assists.
So you like James Johnson better than Josh Richardson at 5,700?
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, Josh Richardson somehow gets the stats because I think the steals and stuff, but James Johnson just has the ball in his hands a ton.
If you look at it, I mean, three of his last four games, he's got eight assists, four assists, three assists from Richardson.
Yeah, no, Richardson has at least 25 in five of his last six, at least 29 in four straight before his last two.
I don't know. I just look at Johnson like basically double-double lock, maybe some blocks, and then the assists are like where the upside is.
Yeah. Anyone else? I'm going to throw out Aaron Gordon. It feels it's point chasing. He's got three straight with at least 24 fantasy points. He had a 38 fantasy point game. He's playing much better. yeah, I think late, but he's also got a 5-point floor.
You want someone on the Magic because Houston. Yeah,
that could be a really good opportunity. Like, that could be a game. Orlando could run away with that game. It really would not surprise me. I know Orlando's bad and Houston's really good.
Though I think we said the same thing when Houston was coming off the Warriors win, and then they took it to the Nuggets on the road on a back-to-back. So Houston's kind of a machine.
Houston's really, really good.
This could be the Vooch game.
Vooch game.
Okay. Hey, they're going up against a 6'8" center in Montrezl Harrell.
Right.
But he plays huge.
Or a 34-year-old Nene.
And, like, Vooch may be coming off the bench, but he's still playing more minutes than Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, he's playing plenty of minutes, yeah. Do you want to give our lineups?
I'll give mine. I don't know what yours is.
Well, you can
give it.
Malcolm Brogdon and Goran Dragic.
Okay.
Josh Richardson and Giannis. I've got LeBron at one small forward. Power forward, I've got Gorgui Dieng and Ersin. And Willie Reed at center.
Okay.
And then my final lineup spot, Andrew Wiggins, taking all his frustrations out on Chris Towers. He's dropping 40 on... Oh, man, he's matched up with Otto Porter. Never mind. Come back to me.
You're not going
to
play the Chris narrative?
No, you can't play him against Otto Porter.
He is... I mean... He's coming off an 8-point game, 16.5 fantasy points.
Which means he's hungry.
Yeah, exactly. I think you should play him, Heath.
You know what? I'm getting the best young...
$6,400 Andrew Wiggins.
I'm going to find a way to get the best young center in all of basketball in my lineup.
Is that Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid. Of course it is. Like, I'm glad you know who I was talking about. The guy with the most upside at the center position.
Okay.
So more than a... Karl Anthony Towns?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, just because Embiid hasn't played basketball for as long as Towns, that Embiid has the most upside.
Has he?
No. He's only played for like 5 years.
Okay, that's true. I guess in the span of a lifetime.
Like, Towns has played all those games. He's pretty much become what he's going to be.
Exactly.
And Embiid's still got a lot of growth.
I don't know about that, right? I mean, I think Towns is kind of the...
Heath's just trolling me.
Yeah, I know.
He's taking... Twitter egg arguments and using them against me.
They're all
Heath
pretty
is the living embodiment of all the Twitter eggs. He just kind of brings them into the real life realm.
He is a walking Twitter egg.
Should get him a shirt with a Twitter egg. Pretty cool.
Heck, this teal shirt that he's in, the turquoise shirt, kind of, it's got like that.
Oh, and the white undershirt. Yeah. I see it.
Joe, you got a lineup?
Oh, I do. I got Brogdon. So cheap. Dragic, Kilpatrick, Fournier, that was my... I mean, he got a lot of minutes in his most recent game. Mm-hmm. Didn't do that great, but figured against Houston, maybe.
That was his... I believe that was his first game back from the heel injury.
Right.
He was coming off the bench. I would assume he's going to
maybe
start.
His price is kind of lower than it should be. Yeah. And going for that, Otto Porter just does what he does. LeBron, James Johnson, Kristaps. Was a little risky.
Coming back from the Achilles strain.
Yeah, but I don't know. Figure...
He's probable.
What the heck? DeAndre Jordan, I think, will have to do a lot.
I'm the only one who's not playing Malcolm Brogdon. I've got a similar value in TJ McConnell, who is expected to start for the Philadelphia 76ers with Sergio Rodriguez out.
Isaiah Thomas. That'll be a fun little matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good matchup. Point guards, you know, Isaiah Thomas isn't good defensively.
Short guys.
TJ McConnell doesn't need to score a lot. He's doing a lot of passing, 8 assists in two straight games, 28 and 29 fantasy points. I think he's a good value at 4,100. We didn't mention him earlier. I'm going to go with Steph Curry, 3,100. It could be a Steph Curry game. Sean Kilpatrick for me at 4,700. Giannis at 10,007. Aaron Gordon and Otto Porter are my small forwards. James Johnson and Draymond Green, and I'll go with Marc Gasol. I think he has a big game against Golden State. So.
Okay, I've changed my lineup.
Oh, thank you.
So, Brogdon, Dragic, Kilpatrick, Giannis, Bohan, LeBron, Gorgui, James Johnson, and JoJo.
Nice.
All right.
I like that. You got LeBron and Giannis in there.
There you go. LeBronis. And Joel Embiid.
LeBronis.
And Joel Embiid.
Basically three $10,000 players.
Pretty trendy lineup.
It's a good matchup for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
He could double-double pretty easily in that.
Well, I mean, that's like he's going to double-double.
Okay. He might. That's it for today's episode of the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Do you guys, Heath, are you doing a a contest?
I will be tweeting it out as soon as the show's. I'll wait. When are you going to post the show?
Probably in like half an hour. That's really helpful to the people who are listening.
Yep. I will.
Real-time updates.
I'll tweet it out about 3 p.m. Eastern.
All right. That sounds good. At Heath Cummings Sr. on Twitter. At JoePoe89.
You spell out senior?
S-R.
Oh, okay.
At C-Tower CBS. I'll play in that one tonight. I'll use this lineup, and we'll see what happens. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on Monday to preview Week 12. Probably going to look back at some of our preseason sleeper busts and breakouts as we're roughly at the halfway point of the season. And
laugh at them.
And, yeah, see what already looks dumb, because I'm sure there will be plenty of stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.